Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and we're continuing our trek through the Bible. We are in 1 Kings, a very interesting study. Kings, as you know, gives us the chronology that fits in part of the calendar that God gave us in His Word. I have a study page on my website called What Year Is It? And there are a lot of self-proclaimed prophets out there that have all kinds of stories and fables about the future. And they want you to hold your breath because at any minute, a great 7-year tribulation period is going to begin. And into this 7-year tribulation period, they put just about everything, you know, including the kitchen sink. I mean, if you can find it in the Bible and it has anything to do with prophecy, whether the prophecy has been fulfilled in the past or not, it doesn't matter. They will take it and they will cram it into this 7-year period. And lucky for you and them, of course, is that none of it matters because neither they or you are going to be here when all of those bad things happen because you're going to be raptured out before anything bad happens. That's the fiction that they're selling you. And that's the great delusion, I believe, that's coming upon the whole earth. The great delusion to get you to buy into Satan's monetary system and the mark of the beast a little more easily. Now, all of these prophets out here don't even know what year it is. They don't know that the Almighty put a chronology in the scripture. And if they adventure to take a look, they just dispute it or they change the calendar. And they say, well, years aren't really years. That years are 360 days or 12 months of 30 days each. And so they have to calculate the years off sync with the regular years that the Almighty made by putting the sun in the sky and the moon and everything else that He put up there to let us know that to observe the seasons and days and years. But we can't pay attention to that. We have to pay attention to them and their conjecture and all of their contrivances to make their false prophecy acceptable and work, and of course sell a lot of books, of course. I mean, how many millions upon millions of copies have the false prophets sold through things like Left Behind and the late great Planet Earth, all based upon false prophecy. Now, going through Kings here, we get a chronicle of the kings, a chronology. And of course, starting with Solomon is where we pick up at 480 years from the Exodus. In the 4th year of Solomon's reign, he started to build the house, or Solomon's temple, as it has become to be called Solomon's temple. So he began to build the house of the Lord. So we pick up the chronology there. And then we start with the chronology of the kings of Judah. Of course, mixed in kings are the kings of Israel, but we need to make sure we don't get them mixed up. We left off last time, before us begin back in, just on my website. You can find that study there. What year is it? And take it to your popular prophecy teacher and say, what about this? You know? And I'm sure they'll find some way to discount it or ignore it. It seems that people who don't want to agree with what the scripture says, they always tend to just ignore it. Or they go off into their 300 prophetic years that they have to count differently. And so the 360 years isn't actually 490 years and isn't an actual 490 years. But it's sometimes shorter than that because, you get it anyway. They're 360-day years instead of 365-day years. So anyway, it gets very confusing. And the more they confuse it, the more you have to rely on them to understand these things. That's it. Because, you know, that's where I was before. I'm going, wow, this is just so confusing. I better believe what these guys say because I can't understand it. Well, I think that's part of the thing is for them to keep you confused. And I hope that here I can clear up some of the confusion. Anyway, so we're going through the Kings, First Kings, and following the chronology, we have here two chronologies going side by side once the kingdom splits up. I'm going to back up a little bit here. Verse 21 of chapter 16. Then were the people of Israel divided in two parts. That's a statement. At the time this is written, the kingdom of Israel was divided in two parts. Half the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people that followed Omri prevailed against the people that followed Tibni, the son of Ginath. So Tibni died, and Omri reigned. Now, this was a little struggle that happened up there in the northern tribes. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign. So you have Asa, king of Judah, having reigned 31 years, when Tibni and Omri had their little spat to decide who was going to be king in the north. So that's what's going on here. So let's not be confused. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel. And when you see Israel in this chronology, it means the northern tribes. Judah was the southern tribes. I believe it was Judah and Benjamin. So 12 years and 6 months, oh, wait a minute, began Omri to reign over Israel. 12 years, 6 years reigned he in Tizra. And he bought the hill of Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver. Now, of course, Shemer would have been one of the children of Israel who owned part of the land that was allotted to his tribe in the beginning when they split up the land by lots. Okay. So you could sell, you could sell part of your, so anyway, Omri bought Samaria, the hill Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver. And he built on the hill and called the name of the city he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill, Samaria. Now Shemer or Shemer and Samaria, is that the same thing? Well, they don't seem like the same thing, but consider this. Language changes. Right now, today, they call people who are against Jews, they call them anti-Semites. But really, they are anti-Shemites, because the Semite part comes from Shem, who was the son of Noah, from whom the Hebrews came. So Shemer and Samaria, perhaps if he called it Samaria after Shem-er, the owner of the hill, so it became Samaria. Now, go figure that one out. It kind of makes sense when you understand how the language changes. And today we use a lot of the same names, but they change a little bit with usage and time. So instead of saying anti-Shemites, we say anti-Semites, but today that's come to mean only one thing, that you're against anyone who merely calls themselves a Jew. Whether they're really the offspring of Shem or not is very questionable. They may or they may not be. I may or I may not be. But fortunately for us that follow the Messiah, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, so it doesn't matter. All that matters is that we are the seed of Abraham by faith in the Messiah. So we'll pick up where we left off last time. But Omri, this was the king of the northern tribes, Israel, wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. So it's just getting worse and worse. And he's worse than all that were before him. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Omri, which he did, and his might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And we will do the study on the Chronicles at some time in the future, and we can read about some of the acts of Omri. But right now, the book of the Kings, it does a lot of focus in the beginning on Solomon, the building of the temple, and those things. But then after we just get a brief overview of the reigns of the kings from that point on, and that's where we're at. So, Omri slept with his fathers, that means he died, and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab, his son, reigned in his stead. So, you know, wickedness begat more wickedness. And it's not always true. A wicked man could have a son that would repent and turn to the Almighty, and it can happen. It can happen to me, it could happen to you, it could happen to anyone who has wicked parents could turn away from their wickedness and repent and follow the Almighty with all their heart and all their soul and all their might. But Ahab, the son of Omri, was not one of those. He reigned in his stead, and in the 38th year of Asa, so Asa is still over there, and you know, still down south in Judah, and still reigning now in his 38th year, Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now that's a pretty lengthy reign for a king of Israel. And that was, see, Ahab the son of Omri, he reigned over Israel 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri, well, here we go again, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. So Ahab completely turns away from the God of Israel. He marries this woman Jezebel, and this spirit of Jezebel lives on today. She's all around us, this wicked, wicked spirit. And this is a woman who rules over men, who doesn't know her place in the kingdom of God. That's right, in God's government. Doesn't know her place. And she kills for whatever she wants. Murder is nothing to her. She's covered with the blood of the righteous. The spirit of Jezebel, living alive and well today, even in America and over the whole earth. Jezebel, the personification of that wicked spirit. So he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar to Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. You see why, when the Messiah came, the Samaritans had a bad name. Yeah, there were still Samaritans left of the northern tribe. Most of them were taken captive. And not only that, when they were taken captive, when Assyria came and took over Samaria, then you had the Assyrians mixing with the Israelites who were left in the land there. And so you had the mixed race people of Samaria that still existed some, you know, 500 years later at the time of the Messiah. So he raised up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. You know, now, if he had been a righteous king, he would not have built a house for Baal in Samaria. He would have decreed that everyone should go to Jerusalem, to the temple, where the Lord God had chosen to put his name, and not worried about losing the kingdom and the power that comes with ruling. You know, that's the same temptation that Satan, when the Messiah was tempted, when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and the devil took him up to a high pinnacle and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Yeah, that's the temptation. That's the temptation that just about every man in government today has fallen for. Oh, one way or another, you know, but that's the picture of the spiritual temptation that goes on. And people sell their souls for money and power. And some of them, I have to admit, you know, very few can keep their integrity in government today. But they're relegated to impotence in everything and anything they do, because they're in a system where they cannot work. And the reason they cannot work there is because the people are evil and the people won't repent of their sins. You can end the Fed. And I'll tell you what, all you people out there, that all you truthers and so forth that crying out to end the Fed, you know, you won't repent of your sins, but you want to end the Fed. So you know what's going to happen? You're going to end up with something worse. That's right. And it will be worse because it's going to be full-fledged Mark of the Beast numbering system with force this time. Yeah, we have a Mark of the Beast numbering monetary system now, and it's all voluntary. And it all makes you feel good. And all of you so-called conservative Republicans out there, you know, I hate socialism and communism. Well, you're card-carrying members. How deluded are you? You're participants in Satan's monetary system. You are deluded. You are card-carrying socialists. You're participants. You pay in and you draw out. And you look forward to it. And you think there's something wrong with someone like me who says, I'm not a card-carrying socialist. Socialism is anti-Christ. It's against God's law. And that's all the Mark of the Beast monetary system. It's going to be socialism, you know, in high gear, right? On steroids, communism, force, and more people are going to die. I mean, look at what happened in Russia with Stalin. You know, he disarmed the people. Turn in your weapons, citizens. And once he got them all to turn in their weapons, what happened? He killed millions of his own, supposedly his own people. That's communism. That's the Mark of the Beast monetary system that's coming. Pol Pot, same thing. You know, let's talk about the Crusades of the Pope. They pale in comparison to what the communists did and will do together, because it's really all one and the same thing. The delusion is you think it's something different, but it's not. So Ahab, he reigned, he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. He thought it was a light thing to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He took that wicked woman, Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God, yes, Yahuwah, God of Israel, to anger than all, that's right, than all of the kings of Israel that were before him. You see a trend here, don't you? Each king does more to provoke the Almighty to anger than the king before him, than all that were before him. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. Oh, look at it. You know, I talked about this the other day. We could have the chronicles of the presidents of the United States of America. And what? Guess what? What happens? We could say this about every successive president. Obama's worse than all before. He's doing more to provoke the Lord God to anger than all that were before him. How about that idiot before him? Yeah, Bush. He did more than all that were before him. And the one before him, Clinton, he did all. See what I mean? There seems to be kind of a pattern where history just keeps repeating itself over and over. And then the people just join in. Oh, look, the king, he's building an altar to Baal in Samaria. Let's all go there. And the king says, do it. They all do it. They don't obey the Lord God of Israel. They don't obey the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. They obey their new little gods that they install on their hills, wherever it is that they install them. Now, this hill was the hill of Samaria. And we have a hill. It's called Capitol Hill. Capitol simply means head. That's the head hill. Capitol Hill. That's it. That's the head hill over all of those people that are living and worshiping in Sodom, Gomorrah, Egypt, Babylon, cross the border into the kingdom of heaven and live forever. It's not a kingdom like the kingdoms of men. This is a kingdom that is over all the earth. It pays no attention to the artificial boundary lines of men. You cross this border by doing what the Messiah said when he said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. You repent to cross this border. It's a spiritual border, and you can cross into it. It's at hand. It's within your reach. All you have to do is repent and say to the Almighty, say, the things that I've been doing that are against your law, I don't want to do them anymore. Help me and teach me obedience. That's what repentance is. And when you truly do that, and you receive the love of God, the propitiation for your sin that frees you from the law of sin and death, and you cross over into his kingdom, he writes his law in your mind and upon your heart so that it is in you. It's no longer cold tablets of stone where the law is inscribed. It's no longer dead letters on pages in a book. It's a living law that's inscribed upon your mind and in your heart, and now it's in you. And you say, I want to please him because I love him. And now you're in his kingdom. Now endure to the end of your mortality in his kingdom, and you will be saved. We'll be back in a few minutes.